It took a long time for American wines to move to the center of the world stage. California wines finally broke through a few decades ago. And then slowly, quietly, Oregon wineries began to score some recognition and success. Now the wine biz is a major factor in the state. This month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon continues a focus on the wine industry and its growth. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month, Maureen is back with Deborah Parker Wong, a top wine judge in California who has watched the rise of Oregon wines. Deborah Parker Wong, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
Sure. Maureen Flanagan Battistella, always good to have you back in the room, virtually.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Maureen. Hi.
Hi.
Deborah, talk about how you got to the top of your craft. Have you had a long interest in wine?
Yes, I've had a lifelong interest in wine, and I'm not going to take you back to the days when I was living as a child surrounded by vineyards, Concord grape vineyards, and rushing home from school during harvest to pick grapes when I was about 9 years old, you know, child labor. But that has come full circle. That has followed me into my adult life. And, you know, Jeff, you're too kind in saying that I'm at the peak. I'm constantly working to scale the peak here. It's a constant evolution for me.
What has it taken then to go from 9 years old picking grapes to having this you bear a mark after your name, DWSET, for Diploma Wine and Spirit Education Trust, which I understand is the top ranking in that trust.
Yes, it is. It's the level 4 certification from the London-based Wine and Spirit Education Trust, and it is considered to be kind of the threshold to the Master of Wine, which is the industry's, there are two, the Master of Wine and the Master Sommelier. But the Master of Wine is considered the global business of wine, the pinnacle of the global business of wine, and certainly aspire to that. I personally am pursuing a Master of Science in Viticulture and Enology at the moment. So, again, lifelong student.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Did your collection of the DWSET certification involve a lot of sipping and spitting?
Yes, it certainly did, and I went through the entire program from the level 2 certification to level 3 and then level 4, which is the diploma program. The diploma took me 2+ years, and it has really, my professional career really began in 2009 when I had achieved a diploma. That's when it really gelled. Everything came together. I've been working professionally as a wine writer since about 2004.
And I understand you're the editor of a journal on Slow Wine, Slow Wine USA's Guide.
I am so proud to be the national editor of the Slow Wine Guide and all of the heroes, the coordinators that make that guide possible, to collaborate with folks like Maureen and all the other coordinators for Oregon. It's fantastic.
Maureen, you write for that guide, is that right?
It's an annual publication that came to the U.S., what, about 4 years ago, Deborah?
Right. Well, we started our research for the 2018 guide in 2017. We're always working a year ahead, right? So if you want to count to the moment the Slow Wine Guide originated in the U.S., it was 2017, but we delivered our first guide in 2018.
Mm-hmm. This is all a way to move toward the central question, which is, what is slow wine?
That is a very good question. Slow wine is under the umbrella of slow food. The slow food movement was founded by Carlo Petrini in 1986, and the Slow Wine Guide in Italy has been around for 10 years. 2010 was its debut, and it slowly grew and expanded to include the U.S., and we're really glad that it did. This is my fourth year working on the guide. I have to keep track here. Fourth year working on the guide. And I worked as a coordinator, then I worked as California editor, and now as national editor for the U.S.
And is it just what it sounds like? It's a way of more or less handcrafting wine, just moving a little more slowly, not having to rush things to bottle?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, but you basically got it. It's the Slow Wine Guide follows the slow food ethos of good, clean, and fair. And I know that's kind of a broad brushstroke, but we have now set out our own guidelines in what we're calling a manifesto, and that manifesto was published this year for the first time, that it's really very comprehensive. And
how Italian?
How
Italian to have a manifesto?
A manifesto. Yeah, there have been some questions about that, and I've said, you know, we really need to look for a modern context for the reference for that particular term, manifesto. We need a modern way of thinking about it.
Yeah. This is Stories of Southern Oregon on the Jefferson Exchange. Deborah Parker Wong, a master of wine, is our guest, with Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who is the curator and collector of Stories of Southern Oregon. Questions, comments about Oregon wines and slow wines, welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. If the view about how to prepare a wine, and we're talking about slow wines now versus, I suppose, faster ones, if there's a difference in techniques, is there a change over time as well, Deborah, in what is regarded as a wine that is just a good wine, that tastes good, has all the things you want in a wine?
Well, I can tell you that when you're tasting, and just a quick aside, I am not a master of wine. That is a very specific title, which I do not hold. And so I wanted to make sure that that's very clear. I am a diploma of the Wine and Spirit Education Trust and a candidate for a Master of Science in Viticulture and Enology, but I do not hold the Master of Wine title.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Well, you know, when you've got a glass of wine in front of you and you are tasting, using an analytical tasting technique to assess the quality and style of that wine, that relies a great deal on your training, your ability to do that. And the wine in the glass can be assessed for quality, style, in a very straightforward way. What is not that obvious is, you know, how that wine was produced. And that's when you have to start digging a little deeper, pull the curtain back. You know, I'm going to tell you, you can't taste pesticides in wine, typically. You might taste compounds that emulate pesticides. In methane thiol, for instance, tastes just like bug spray, but it's not a pesticide. So, it's the transparency is the real key here, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. The transparency, and that's what slow wine is all about.
Transparency in knowing what's in it, you mean?
Well,
how it's produced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sustainability of the land. It's the curation of the land and management of the land, the stewardship, and I think that's similar to the slow food movement. It's an appreciation. It's slowing down to appreciate the embodiment of that product, that how that product is born out of this earth.
All right. So basically, trying to be kind to the land and everything around it too, in addition to making a halfway decent wine, more than halfway decent, obviously.
No, it's a superior wine. I think that's the other part of the slow wine movement, the slow food movement. It's not just an everyday something that you eat. It's an appreciation of a superior product. And that's what I think is so interesting to think about in terms of the Italian and the European food appreciation model. We used to have a slow food movement here in Southern Oregon, but I think it was disbanded about 10 years ago.
Hmm. Well, why was that?
Well, still going strong here in California. Mm-hmm. Slow food, nice. We've got lots of chapters here, so it's still alive and kicking.
Okay, so slow food still going strong. Slow wine, rather. So slow food, rather. Let's. I want to come back to Oregon wines a bit because it's been one of the stories, obviously, of the economy of this region that wines from Oregon have risen on the world stage. And Deborah Parker Wong, is it something that was unthinkable 2 decades ago or something?
No. Absolutely, quality wine has been around for quite a while in Oregon. But you know, I would say that when French producers started buying estates to make Pinot Noir in Oregon, eyeballs followed them. Attention was turned toward the region because it's like a German producer that goes to the Finger Lakes and makes Riesling there, which happens all the time. It's the same idea. It's that, you know, they know what they're doing, they know what they're about, and they're there for a reason. And in a lot of ways, that has done a lot to get people to pay attention. But the wines themselves have done their own work. They've charted their own path because the quality is world class. It's outstanding. And we're seeing so much of that excellent wine in the bag, which is such a treat for me.
So what are the venues in which you normally judge wines, Deborah Parker Wong?
Oh, I'm an international wine judge. Wine judging is one of my favorite professional activities, but it's not one that I take lightly by any means. I judge international competitions. Most recently, right before the lockdown, the Concours Mondial du Sauvignon, which is a competition that judges Sauvignon Blanc wines from all over the world. I don't believe there were any Oregon wines this year, but there were 50 California entries, which is really quite something, competing with wines from the Loire, wines from Bordeaux, all of, New Zealand, of course, all over the world. Other competitions include domestic and regional competitions, which are very important. Regional competitions keep me up to speed on what particular AVAs or producer groups are doing. That's really important. And I've done a little bit of judging in Oregon, not as much as I would like to.
Mm-hmm. What is the attraction to Oregon? Why do you say you'd like to do more?
Oh, Pinot Noir. But there's a lot more to Oregon than Pinot Noir. It's the whole basket of grape varieties. I was looking at the Oregon Wine Competition. I'm going to scroll down here and look at my notes. I was looking at the Oregon Wine Competition, which I judged last year in 2019.
That's how I met you, Deborah.
Yes, absolutely. Face-to-face. Unbelievable. And what was exciting about that competition for me was that Double Gold wines were awarded to Albarino, Malbec, Viognier, Pinot Gris, Sauvignon Blanc, right, in addition, of course, to Tempranillo and Pinot Noir.
So is that unusual for a region to be that versatile in having that many different kinds of wines?
Well, I wouldn't say it's unusual, but I would say it's a heroic feat to be able to do it and do it that well.
So they were good wines. It wasn't like you saw.
I get the chills when I think about how good the wines were. I've also judged the Tempranillo Alliance in 2017. We tasted 60 Tempranillos. They were tasted blind, and that was an internal analytical tasting. And the results, there weren't really results. They weren't shared with us, so I couldn't really get as much insight from that experience. But it certainly introduced me to Tempranillo from Southern Oregon. If you take 60 of them, you've got a pretty good idea of what's going on.
That was an amazing experience, that Tempranillo Alliance. And wasn't that the year that we had the smoke in the valley too? So you were 20, your palate
absolutely
was like competing with so many different substances, and to keep
2017 vintage. We weren't tasting the 2017 vintage Marine. We were tasting
probably
15. Yeah, we were tasting 15. Right. That year, I also tasted a whole flock of Pinot Noirs with Christian Miller from Full Glass Research. He's done some work for the Oregon Wine Board. And in 2016, we had a wonderful panel that I helped assemble, and we blind tasted several dozen Pinot Noir wines, and then talked remotely with the producers. Hey, it was the virtual world even in 2016.
You could do it remotely even then.
Yeah, well, we got the producers to come and talk to us a little bit, which was great, because we were so intent on understanding the wine. So hearing from the producer and understanding their intention is absolutely key if you really want to get it.
We are talking to Deborah Parker Wong in this month's Stories of Southern Oregon. She's a top wine judge, an international wine judge. Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who curates Stories of Southern Oregon, is back with us as well. So if you're talking about a wine tasting, a competition that you're judging, how many different kinds of wines are you going to taste over the course of that competition?
Well, it depends on the competition, Jeffrey, but, you know, I bill myself as a global palate. That's kind of my shtick. I'm a global palate, which means that I specialize in everything, mm-hmm. or I try to at any rate. The main thing is understanding the range of style for a given variety and understanding the factors that influence that variety in a given region. So if I'm tasting Sauvignon Blanc, for example, from Chile, I have a pretty good idea of what I can expect. I'm looking for maybe a little bit higher malic acidity. I'm in a blind tasting. It's really more than a parlor trick to be able to say, this is Chilean. I know this wine. I've tasted enough of these wines. I can recognize it. Mm-hmm. And that comes from experience. That comes from experience and just lots of tasting. I taste on average about 6,000 wines a year. It's about the same amount as any retail buyer.
Wow. All right. So that, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this as a not a parlor trick, because I think that's the way it comes across to some people. It's like, how'd you do that? It's like, I've tasted 6,000 wines.
Yeah.
Oh, the taste memory, though, must be phenomenal to be able to detect and differentiate up to 300, 400 wines in a tasting. What can we go back to slow wine?
Go back to what?
slow wine. Is it possible for you to reveal who the Southern Oregon nominations went through for Slow Wine 2021?
Well, the list is really long, Marina. There are
in Southern Oregon.
The wineries have all been apprised. They've received emails, and we're getting ready to do the press release now. I would like to say that. Because I don't want to skip anyone, or I don't want to leave anyone off inadvertently. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to say that press release will be out very soon, and we'll make noise about it. But there are so many fantastic wines awarded. What I would like to, actually not at the expense of the wineries, but I really want to give credit where credit is due to our heroes, our coordinators for the Slow Wine field coordinators for Oregon, including Maureen, of course, Neil Holkauer, Sophia McDonald-Bennett, Carla Arovic, Pamela Strayer, and Catherine Fallis, who live here in California. These are your heroes. These are the people that tasted the wine, did the interviews, wrote the guide entries, and made it happen this year in a very challenging year.
Indeed it was, but production continued. Did anybody falter because of inability to get a hold of people to do the work?
Well, we grew the guide entries. Marginally, we added about 10 wineries. We had many wineries that simply were inundated and couldn't. Marketing, this type of marketing activity was not their priority. We were contacting them at the absolute worst time over the summer. But I can say that many did step up. We had Mimi Castillo made a video. I mean, we had people who went above and beyond. But we were able to add new wineries, and we're going to continue to grow the guide. There's no stopping us now.
and what's the publication date for the Slow Wine Guide?
Well, we're expecting the ebook at least by March. We have a tour coming up in June, an in-person physical tour. We'll be visiting, producers will be invited to present their wines in three different cities: San Francisco, June 7th, Seattle, June 8th, and Austin, June 10th. And we're hoping we'll have the printed guide available by those dates. We're going to pre-sell the printed edition of the guide, on premiere sale.
All right. When you get the list of the Southern Oregon inclusions, Maureen or Deborah, forward that to us. We'll make sure we tack it onto this on the website. Deborah Parker Wong is a top wine judge in California. Maureen Flanagan Battistella, the curator of Stories of Southern Oregon. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.